What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. This is our weekly show. We talk soccer in Atlanta. We talk soccer all over the state of Georgia, all over the Southeast, all over the United States, honestly, all over the world, because there's so much going on. That's what we do each and every Tuesday night on AST. This is an interesting episode just because it's an interesting time with Atlanta United struggling on the field and going into a transfer window where they're going to have to be busy. You know, that's just the reality of the situation, and it's going to be a fascinating month plus or so for where things stand for this group. The transfer window officially opens on Thursday. Enia Mihai was in Atlanta today. He will be eligible to play on Saturday as the team hosts the Seattle Sounders at the Benz. We'll see if he's ready to go that quickly. He's been working out individually up until joining the team. Yes, he can be fit, but he might not be sharp in terms of match sharpness. He's not going to have a whole lot of time on the practice field with his new teammates. We'll see where all of that goes. But he's the first addition. Garth Lagerwey has told us for a while now on our pregame segments ahead of games, and Chris Henderson has also said the same and echoed it, they're going to be busy in this window because they're not happy with where this team is. The roster that was built before the season, great on paper. Find me somebody in the world, in the predictions that were actually posted back then, not now, because that's what people do. Sometimes they delete things. Sometimes might be some fibs told. Go back and find somebody before the season, after the winter that Atlanta United had. Go back and find somebody who predicted Atlanta United would be where they are in the table right now. Don't waste your time. You're not going to find them. There wasn't anybody. Did people think they would be an MLS title contender? Yes. Not everybody, but quite a few. Did people think that they would be a playoff team? Pretty much everybody. I don't remember seeing anybody have Atlanta lower than sixth in the East. This was supposed to be a very good team, a contender in the Eastern Conference. Rosters built on paper don't play matches. And I think the fascinating element of all of this is there really, it wasn't easy to see this coming, to see this team struggle in the ways that they have this season. You look at where they spent money in the offseason, you know, beyond just they spent money, the players you brought in and what parts of the field they play in. I would have never guessed that this team would be where they are in terms of goals scored this season. I would have never guessed that it would have been so difficult to see Latte Lott and Miguel Almiron find good form on a regular basis, because I don't think either one really has all that often this season. I don't think it's for a lack of trying. It hasn't worked. I think the shape with Almiron cutting inside has made it difficult for Alexei Maranchuk to be at his best. I think a lot of players have lost confidence and are getting into their own heads. And it's been difficult to see a team with the talent that this team has, again, on paper, be where they are in the table. Nobody sat there and was smarter than the room and said, this is what would happen with this group. Nobody. So when you're Garth Lagerwey and you're Chris Henderson and you're Ronnie Dyla and you're looking at where this is and you're going into a summer transfer window, players know this, coaches know this, front office leaders know this. At a club like Atlanta United, you can't just stand pat after the season has been the way that it has. Changes have to be made, and you got to be aggressive. And how do you do that in a salary cap league? Because it's easy if you are not in those roles. Very easy to sit on the sidelines, to sit in a chat room, to sit in the group chat and say, well, get rid of this guy, get rid of this guy, get rid of this guy, and then go sign all these guys and make it work. It's not that simple. It's not that easy to do, especially when in a cap league, oftentimes you've got to move players out who have value to bring value back in to upgrade. That's not an easy decision to make. It's not a fun decision to make. You can't just purely get rid of players who are not playing well or not playing at all and have no value. You can't do that. It's not that simple. You can in very limited cases. You do have another buyout that you can use. You used one before the season. I think it was easy to forget. I actually forgot it for a minute because it wasn't something that was in a big press release. It was part of the roster announcement before the season in terms of the compliance deadline that the club had used a buyout on Derek Etienne's contract because there was still money on the Atlanta United cap on that this season. So that was done before the season. The rules have changed to where you can have two now. So they do have a buyout available to them. The club waived Mateusz Klich yesterday. That was not a buyout. That does clear an international roster spot, which is valuable, worth anywhere between $250,000 to $275,000 if you want to add to go get one. That's maybe a tell that you have players coming in. You're going to need an extra spot. Maybe a little bit of cap space, but not much. Remember, DC had the majority of his salary being paid there. On the waiver side of things, just in case you don't know the process, a club may put a player on waivers at any time during the regular season. He's made available to all the other clubs. So the waiver claiming period commences on the first business day after the league tells everybody this player was waived. It expires at 5 p.m. on the second business day after the player was waived. If a player is not selected off waivers, then they're available to all MLS clubs on a first-come, first-served basis. So Mateusz Klich is in that side of things now. It just never worked out with Mateusz Klich in Atlanta. And it did not make sense. You look at what he did with DC United last year, and you look at how he played for Atlanta United this year. Didn't look like the same player. It just never fit. So that's an open international roster spot now for Atlanta United to work with. This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight. I'm Jason Longshore, kind of getting into the off-the-field side, the roster-building side, where things are for Atlanta United right now as the transfer window officially opens for Major League Soccer on Thursday. Trade that has not gone final yet, but has been reported everywhere and officially wouldn't go final until Thursday anyway, so maybe it gets announced Thursday morning. I don't know. F. Ryan Morales to Montreal. A move that got a visceral reaction from a lot of people, but I'll go back to how I started this conversation. It is very difficult to move players out that have no value to other teams. Nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to give you something for a player who they don't see playing for them. So you have to move on from players who are seen as ones with value. You have to give up something to get something. So the Morales deal, as it has been reported, is $450,000 in allocation money plus $350,000 additional dollars in allocation money in incentives and a sell-on fee. That's sizable. When Atlanta traded George Campbell to CF Montreal ahead of the 2023 season, that ended up being for about $700,000 in general allocation money. Campbell has since been sold to West Brom in the English Championship, and there was a sell-on in that, so Atlanta will get a little something out of that one as well. But with Efrain Morales, I have to do two things here. I have to tell you from my personal perspective, and I have to tell you from the business perspective. The business perspective, it's a cruel business sometimes. And the business perspective is he was a young player who had value, and very potentially the playing time would have disappeared for him with an Ian Mihai's signing. That's the business side. He had value. Montreal wanted him. They just sold George Campbell. They need somebody to play center back. His strong play as of late with Atlanta United and with Bolivia. You can go get assets in that allocation money that can help you bring in other players and make you better. That's the business side, and it's real, and it's not emotional. The emotional side of it is, and I think I can speak to this and a few others can, we've talked about this on the SDH network quite a bit. We cover the club very deeply in our core of people, from calling academy games to calling Atlanta United two games, to getting to interview and profile these young players when they start their careers out. Efrain is somebody we sat down with very, very recently. You can listen to that on the SDH Network podcast feed. You can read about it at soccerdownhere.net. Efrain is someone that, you know, we've played audio here on Atlanta Soccer Tonight. We've talked to him after games. He's a player who always gave us time. He's a player who I was so happy to see get an opportunity to start at the Benz wearing the Atlanta United shirt, for one, because all of his starts up until very recently had been on the road, which was crazy, crazy scenario, but that's how it had gone. I think for Efrain, it's rough because I saw a player who was signed at a very young age and had awful luck with injuries and just really struggled to get going. We talked about that in our last conversation, the last podcast. I saw him overcome that and become the player that he knew he could be, we all thought he could be, and a player who ended up having a lot of value for Atlanta United. And I hate that we're not going to see more of him in an Atlanta United shirt. I'm happy that he's going to go to a place where he's going to get to play, I think, on a regular basis. And a place that, look, it worked out really well for George Campbell. George Campbell went to Montreal kind of in the same situation of someone who, you know, Atlanta United was going to go out and sign center backs and bring in players that were probably going to eat into his playing time. Going to Montreal gave him more playing time. I think he played over 70 games there in the last 2.5 seasons. And that's now got him to Europe and playing in the English Championship on a team with ambition to move up. I hope the same happens for Efrain Morales. I know how much playing for the Bolivian national team matters to him. Playing more regularly will keep him in that mix. A player that I was just always so impressed with his mentality, with his perseverance, with his guts to deal with the injuries that he dealt with. Whole way along that, becoming a person who is a professional athlete and a college student at the same time. Really, really impressive guy, Efrain Morales. And somebody that I just really hope the best for in Montreal. Somebody that we'll be rooting for, somebody that we'll be following. A local homegrown product who it's not official yet, but it looks like it's going to be anytime now. Trade can't go through until Thursday anyway. with Efrain Morales going to Montreal. Now, here's the deal, and we'll talk about it after the break here on AST. You're bringing in assets. You're going to be able to go out into the market and spend. Now, maybe there's a little more pressure because we saw what Efrain Morales has done with this team. Now you're going to have to be significantly better than that if you're any Amichai, if you are anybody else that the team goes out to get. There's going to be extra pressure to get it right, to get this team successful, and to surpass some of the players that have now moved on to create space on this roster for what is expected to be, what is hoped to be, upgrades. And as we learned in this past offseason through this season, it can look right on paper, but you don't know what you get until you get those players on the field and you see it all work. And this season, it hasn't worked. So you have to go back to the drawing board and try to upgrade this team again. That's what Atlanta United is in the process of doing. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We'll talk about the on-the-field side of things as well. You'll hear from Matt Edwards. You will hear from new signing Eni Amichai. That's all coming up after the break here on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, talking Atlanta United off the field. We'll get into the on the field here in just a second. I want to recap a little bit of where things stand in terms of this transfer window. It opens officially on Thursday. We'll run into August. Then you have to wait until after the season to make more changes to this team. Are you going to make every change that fixes everything in this window? Probably not. Chris Henderson has been really clear in saying that it's over the next two windows that he wants to get this team where he thinks they were going to be before the start of this, where he thought they were going to be before the start of the season, and where he wants them to be to compete for trophies. So where things stand right now, Mateusz Klich off the roster. He's been waived. You've opened up an international spot and maybe a little bit of salary. You are in the process, and I don't know when it goes final. It might go final on Thursday. It has not been officially announced as of yet. You're in the process of trading Efrain Morales to Montreal for what could be all the way up to $800,000 in general allocation money. Will be $450,000 guaranteed. That will essentially give you salary cap space. It's not allocation money is not like for like salary cap space, but that's the best way to explain it in big picture conversation. So you're going to have more room to work with. Combine those two moves that have happened and are happening over this week with the move of Edwin Mosquera going out on loan to Millonarios in Colombia and moving Sean De Silva at the end of the last window, which cleared a good bit of salary cap space. And you have added allocation money. You have added room in your salary cap. Now you've added Eni Amichai, and we'll hear from him here in just a bit. They're going to go out and add more. There's rumors, there's innuendo, there's nothing really confirmed at this point from top tier sources. We will see, you know, what kind of positions could you be looking at? I think where you're looking is anywhere. You're not really tied to South America, Europe, Asia, anywhere specific. You can go anywhere. What would make this team better, in my opinion? you've got to be better defensively, and that could be a number of positions. That could be fullback, that could be center back, that could be defensive midfield. You have to. There's no way around it. The team's given up too many goals. And you look at what they've given up versus expected goals, it's far more. You look at how many goals this team has given up, and you're putting too much pressure on the offense, which hasn't delivered either. But you're putting too much pressure on the offense to go out and drag you back into games. Defense has to be better. And that's not purely one player or one position. That is the back line. I think it is the midfield, the holding midfield, especially centrally. And that's what you're looking at. So are you looking at another center back? Are you looking at a fullback? Are you looking at another defensive midfielder or central midfielder? You can go box to box. Those are all possibilities. What do you have to build around? Bartosz Szlich, for sure. He's been outstanding as your six slash eight. I think he can really play either one. It's more about a partnership than defining it purely as a six or an eight or one or the other, but not both. Create a partnership. I think Szlich, you can upgrade around him. I think he has to be ever present. The other center back position next to Mihai, who should be the guy, is that Derek Williams? Is that Stian Gregersen? Is that Luis Abram? Is that Noah Kopp? I don't know if any of them have definitively said it's me. Do you have an opportunity to go get another center back? I don't know. Maybe on your list. Maybe central midfield's on your list. Can you get better at fullback? I think you can defensively if you want to go down that road. You're going to lose some in the attack if you move on or add a fullback that would replace Pedro Amador, who was on double-digit assist pace last year but has not picked up an assist this season. Brooks Lennon, who has been a double-digit assist guy, has not been this season. Those two players have shown you in the attack that they can be very good. Could you upgrade defensively from them? Yeah, I think you could, but is the trade-off what you want it to be? I don't know. That's a tough one to fit because the attack right now needs all the help it can get because it's not producing enough. Very curious to see if you can find the right combination or with time. Latte Lott, Miguel Almiron, Alexi Maranchuk, Saba Lobjanidze, or Luke Brennan can figure it out and can be dangerous and can be consistently productive for this team in the attacking half. I think they're going to have time to do that. I don't know if you go out and get anybody in those positions in this window to change that, but we will see. And I think the rest of the season becomes maybe a bit of an audition for 2026 and the off-season window, which could be very interesting for this group. Why is the rest of the season kind of an audition? Well, your playoff hopes are hanging by a thread at this point after the loss to Charlotte and the draw last Wednesday to Chicago. Saturday night against Charlotte, I mean, it felt like a lot of games we've seen this season. Good in moments. You could say really good in moments. I thought it was a really good first half. You got one goal out of it. It was a good one. Szlich created it. Muyamba headed it home. But with that advantage, with that momentum, you didn't make it pay off. You only got one, and you got punished for that in the second half. Matt Edwards spoke to the media today in Marietta, the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta training ground, and I asked him to start the conversation. What changed? What was different from the first half to the second half on Saturday night? Here is our conversation at after training media availability today with Matt Edwards.
I think conceding a goal that fast can kind of affect you a little bit. I would say we still created a good amount of chances in the second half too. We still had a lot of the ball and a lot of the ball in their half. We just obviously, like I said, individual stuff that we got to work on as a group and improve and learn from next week and try to minimize that as much as possible.
I was watching the activity over there today about trying to create the 2v1s and getting you guys involved for the fullbacks. Could you talk a little bit about that connectivity and what it does?
Yeah, I think it's just building relationships with our wingers, our tens and our strikers. And then I would say that we want to be more effective in the attacking third. And I think if you can create an overload, it definitely helps. And just getting us more involved will help balance the team. And I mean, it's hard to defend as a wingback when you have two guys going against you. So
is your game different on the left? Your play style is different on the left versus on the right?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like on the left, I'm probably more inclined to go inside. Then on the right, I'm more inclined to overlap. But that's just something I'm working on, so I can do both on both sides, so I can just be effective. But yeah, it's a little different, but we tried to mold the game that way too. And then just build a relationship with Luke on the left side. I mean, we've played together a while, so it's easier. We get each other. So
you want to hear a little bit more about the breakdown of what we saw in training today, the activity and kind of what it meant. You can see some clips from that. That is on the Training Ground Dispatch on the SDH network. You can watch it at youtube.com/soccer down here with myself and Madison Cruz. You will hear from Madison in this next clip. You'll also hear from new Atlanta United signing Enia Mihai, Albanian national team center back. He is with Atlanta United now after a stint in the Portuguese first division. Started the conversation with him asking about his last season in Portugal and kind of what he brings from that year to Atlanta now with Atlanta United. Here's the conversation that myself and Madison Cruz had with Enia Mihai today.
I think conceding a goal that fast.
That was Matt Edwards. Let's try that again. This is Enia Mihai.
Yeah. Was one of the best seasons I had in my career, like no injuries, playing full games. I was the captain of my team, and that's a honor. It was a really good experience, playing in a good level. We did a good season. We almost achieved to enter in the Europe competition, but we was a little bit behind. But it was a good season for me, and the reason, like I said before, the reason I chose to be here, it was except, you know, because you can see here, this kind of training center, it's a level of Premier League. It's a really good one. And that's a bless for a player, you know. He can improve himself. He can show himself every day. And but the rest of that, you know, like I said to you, I'm here to try to fight for titles with the guys, obviously. And they convinced me that that is a target for Atlanta, and we're going to do it.
What did you learn from being a captain that made you a better player?
Being a captain, you know, for me, is not like keeping that one. And okay, it's like showing up in the difficult moment, and in the good moments, go more behind, you know, hide yourself. So, give you a responsibility, a high responsibility, but in the same time, like in the end, if when the things go good, you feel like, okay, we did it, and I had to step up in these things and be proud of myself. Obviously, I speak for everyone like a captain, but you know, that's a thing that improves you like a player when you get the responsibility even higher. You know, that's it.
I wanted to ask you too about how important playing for your national team is and what your aspirations are there.
Obviously, playing in front of the national team is big honor, you know. It's you play for your country. I play with great players there, you know, the players playing in my position, they play high level like Serie A or La Liga, they are great players. And always I see this thing like opportunity for me when I go there to get things, to learn things. I always, in my life, it's like this, you know, I try to learn from everyone. I try to help everyone. And but national team is something special for me, and I think for all the players, you know. But for us Albanian, it's a little bit more sometimes, yeah, you know.
Madison Cruz, 92.9 The Game at the SDH Network as well. How has it been getting the chance to get to know all the players on the team as well and coming into the Bolton training with them today?
Yeah, it was amazing, you know. I was waiting about this long time. I try, you know, a lot of names. I try to, obviously, I was looking the games, know them, some of them. But, yeah, I try to learn all the names of the staff, you know, the guys, everyone, because here there are many people working for the club, and, you know, we need to respect them because they are the guys that many times, you know, they are not in front of the camera, but they are very, very important. So I try to learn all the names, and but it was really nice. It's quite hot, but like a Greek, I was in Greece before, so I can say like, okay, I cannot compare or complain about it. So that's okay. But it was nice. Yes, really nice. And I'm looking forward to get adapt, you know, even more and so up myself even more, you know.
It was great to hear from N.A. Mihai after his first training session with Atlanta United and getting ready to potentially factor in to Saturday night's match against the Seattle Sounders. A couple things that stood out to me. We talked about being a captain and being out front when things weren't well and going to the background a little bit when things were going well. That's an interesting approach, and it makes total sense. And I like that kind of style from somebody who will take on the responsibility, but also share the glory of when things are going well. And also the last part where he was talking about the staff and everybody in the building and how important they are to a team's success and just generally about the building and the training facility. Very cool. It's something we consistently hear from players who come here, how impressed they are with what Atlanta United is in terms of infrastructure. Now, and I think Ania has made it pretty clear, he wants people to be impressed with what this club is on the field, and we will see if it can get back to where it used to be. Seattle coming to town on Saturday. Pregame coverage starts at 6:30 with Abe Gordon and Madison Cruz. 7:40 kickoff with myself and Mike Conti. And we will talk to Chris Henderson before the match, and we'll get any updates going on in the transfer window. Coming up next, it's the 3-4-3. Three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about the game that I love so much. Coming up next on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, and y'all know how the show ends by now. In the final segment, it's the 3-4-3, which is brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about the game that I love so much. Let's start on the local side. Numero uno, Atlanta United 2. Play to a 1-1 draw, a contentious 1-1 draw at Carolina Core on Saturday night. Fell in the penalty shootout to decide the bonus point. Game was delayed 95 minutes due to inclement weather. Atlanta was trailing. Javier Armas scored his third goal of the season late in the match to send it to the shootout. Great goal from Armas, but unable to get anything out of the shootout. John O'Ransom made a save in the first round of the shootout. Carolina Core ends up getting the win. Their goalkeeper ends up doing the Fortnite dance in front of, I believe it was Aiden Torres, whose last penalty was saved, which could have sparked a brawl. Full credit to Javier Armas, who instead of brawling, put his arm around the goalkeeper and walked him away while maybe lecturing him about, hey, you probably should not do that because that could cause you some problems down the line. Very lucky that things did not escalate because I thought they were going to when I saw it. I was shocked. Coming up next for Atlanta United 2, they're back in action on Wednesday, July 30th, traveling to the New England Revolution 2 at Gillette Stadium. It's a weird kickoff time. It's a Wednesday match, 11 a.m. Eastern time. You can watch it on MLS Season Pass. You can listen to it on the SDH Network on our Mixlr channel. I'll be sharing the link as we get ready for that. I'll have the call for you for that ahead of Leagues Cup that evening at the Benz. Number two on the local side, former Atlanta United center back and academy grad. I mentioned it earlier, George Campbell. He has moved via transfer from Montreal to West Bromwich Albion of the English Championship. Great opportunity for George, who has one cap for the full U.S. men's national team. I think with a good season, he could put himself into the mix. I don't think Mauricio Pochettino would be afraid of bringing him in. When you start talking about friendlies over the September window, October window, November window, March window of 2026, and then you have to have a roster for the World Cup. Is there enough time for George Campbell to make that leap? Maybe. I'm not ruling it out. I think he's got to go there and really kill it, and we'll be rooting for him. Somebody that, again, we got to see develop from academy. I remember the first time I saw him play, and I had not seen him in the academy. He didn't play a whole lot in the academy until he moved to center back. Changed his trajectory entirely, and I hope it continues to, and I hope we get to see him more in the U.S. men's national team shirt. George Campbell headed to West Brom this season in the English Championship. Number three, the fall college season. It's right around the corner. Over 30 programs on the men's and the women's sides will be playing this fall all over the state of Georgia. Here in the Atlanta area, some of the things that I'm excited for, here in the state of Georgia, really, to be honest, things I'm excited for. Georgia State, their men's and women's teams both have really strong recruiting classes incoming. Clayton State, the men made a run to the D2 quarterfinals last year. Looking forward to seeing maybe some new faces and what that team looks like this year under longtime head coach Pete Peterson. And looking forward to seeing new women's head coach Ricky Clark. You might know him from his time with the Atlanta Silverbacks or from his time as the interim head coach of the Houston Dash of the NWSL. He will be rocking it in Morrow with Clayton State and the Lakers this season. Oglethorpe and Emory men's teams, they'll try to defend conference championships and move on to the national tournament. While the Emory women, they made a deep run in the national tournament at D3. They will try to do a repeat of that in 2025. The state of Georgia, both NAIA national champions on the men's and the women's side are from the state of Georgia. We'll see if they can repeat in 2025. Dalton State on the men's side, the Savannah College of Art and Design on the women's side. They're going to try to defend those national titles in 2025. Looking forward to all of the college soccer getting started this fall. Teams will be on the field here in a few weeks. Really looking forward to it. I think the exhibition games get started first week of August. Four headlines from around the world. Let's go to the Women's European Championships. First, England's comeback today to beat Italy. It's a stressful game. An incredible performance from Italy. They took the lead in the first half. They held it until stoppage time. Juventus midfielder Barbara Bonansea, she fired home in the 33rd minute to give Italy the lead. It looked like it was going to hold up. But Michelle Adjiman, who has been great for England in this tournament, 19 years old, came off the bench, equalized in the 96th minute to send this match to extra time. She nearly won it in extra time. And if she had converted this opportunity, a bouncing ball, she didn't have much of an angle. She wasn't going to be able to bring it down. And she just went for the kind of delicate half volley without any power on it, just trying to loop it over the goalkeeper. Went off the front of the crossbar, nearly pulled it off. Would have been one of the best goals I've seen in a moment like that to win a match. Didn't quite come off. Then England got a penalty. A very questionable penalty decision. It went England's way late in extra time. It's one of those penalties, you're not going to overturn it with the video assistant referee, can't. But is it a penalty you want to see given in that moment to decide a match that late? No, there wasn't enough in it. I thought the attacker was very intelligent, feeling some contact, going down, getting the call, and it ends up winning the match. Now, it wasn't even that easy because Chloe Kelly's attempt was saved. England in penalties has been all over the place in this tournament. They did win a shootout, but they had four penalties saved in that shootout. Chloe Kelly's penalty here is saved, but she put home the rebound. That's something that IFAB and FIFA are talking about outlawing. Making penalties basically a dead ball situation entirely. If it does not end up in the back of the net, it's a dead ball and it'll be a goal kick coming out. I'm more and more starting to feel that way. That I like that idea because I think it's too much of an advantage to the attacker in the situation. Kelly's the first one to it and she puts it home. England ends up holding on to win 2-1 and advance to the final. Serena Wiegmann is the first ever men's or women's manager to reach five major international tournament finals in a row. Euro 2017 with the Netherlands won it. World Cup 2019 with the Netherlands, second place. Euro 2022 with England, won it. World Cup 2023 with England, second place. Euro 2025 final. What happens on Sunday? We will find out. Italy head coach Andrea Sonzin, he found solace in the heartbreak after his team came within 1 minute of going to the final. Said it was an encouraging sign. They came so close. He said, this is something which hurts, but we have to be proud of what has been done. The fact that we didn't get to the final and we were 1 minute away is encouragement. I wish that if I was in that situation, I could say that and feel that way. It was gut-wrenching to see Italy get so, so close and not quite be able to pull it off. A great tournament for them. England gets to the final. They'll play the winner of Spain and Germany. That semifinals tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. Spain, they're the defending World Cup champions, but they've never reached the final of the Women's European Championship. They've also never beaten Germany, ever. Spain has lost just one of their past 15 matches. They've won 12 of those 15 since they last played Germany. Germany won that 1-0 in the bronze medal match at last year's Paris Olympics. Can Spain get to their first final in the Euros and beat Germany for the first time? They're the favorites. It won't be easy. I think they're the better team. We'll see if they can handle the pressure of this semifinal tomorrow. 3 o'clock kickoff. You can watch it on Fox. Final is on Sunday at noon. Number two on the headlines from around the world, the Women's African Cup of Nations going on. And we have a final set there as well. Morocco, the hosts, will play Nigeria in the final. Morocco beat Ghana 4-2 in a penalty shootout in Rabat, Morocco at the Olympic Stadium. Finished 1-1 after 90 minutes. Neither side could break the deadlock in extra time, and a 4-2 win in the shootout for Morocco. The Atlas Lionesses, they will contest a second straight final on home soil, and they will try to win the trophy for the first time ever. Nigeria has won it 9 times. They scored a dramatic stoppage time winner to beat defending champion South Africa 2-1 to book their spot to face Morocco. So Morocco and Nigeria, final of the 2024 Women's African Cup of Nations on Sunday. Number three in the headlines, Querétaro FC of Liga MX now has an Atlanta connection in ownership. Innovatio Capital, they've completed the takeover of Querétaro FC to become the first majority U.S. ownership group in Liga MX. Mark Spiegel is the chairman of Innovatio Capital, and he finalized the acquisition on Friday. They're a sports and data investment firm. They use technology to identify investment opportunities in undervalued markets. They acquire those assets and then create operational edges in that market. Spiegel's based here in Atlanta, tried to get Charlton Athletic in 2023. He's going to be joined in running Querétaro by Chris Spooner, who's going to be the CFO, and Ed Mallion, who's going to oversee data and sporting strategy. Mexico's interesting. You're seeing, according to ESPN, an increased interest in investing in Liga MX as they start to get ready to centralize their media rights. You have a lot of media companies who own teams in Mexico, so you haven't really had that push to do this until very, very recently to try to make it better for everybody. That's going to happen soon. Also, a league-level investment by private equity company Apollo Global. They're in advanced negotiations to invest more than $1 billion U.S. dollars in the league. You've got Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney, Eva Longoria. They all have a stake in Necaxa, who Atlanta United will see here very soon in the League's Cup. Not a majority stake, but they have a stake in that team. Querétaro, first team to be majority owned by an American group and with an Atlanta tie in Mark Spiegel. Number four on the headlines, Mikel Arteta, Arsenal manager, he says that he believes as many as 9 teams can win the Premier League title next season. Now, he did say his team has the right ingredients to come out on top, and I think the pressure is ramping up on Arsenal, especially if they get 2 deals that are in process over the line in Victor Gyökeres from Sporting in Portugal and Christian Mosquera from Valencia in Spain. They have strengthened their team in a big way. They added Martin Zubimendi. They've added Noni Madueke. They've added Christian Norgard. They've added Kepa in goal. $138 million spent to bring these players in. If you get Gyökeres and you get Mosquera, you're getting into the $200 million range. Big expectations for Arsenal. Liverpool are the defending champions. They've spent even more to defend their title, adding players, going out getting Florian Wirtz, for example. they're trying to defend their title and chase the Champions League. Manchester City, they have spent heavily to get back on top in England and to get back to the Champions League final. And then there's Chelsea, who won the Club World Cup in a little bit of a surprise. They've spent big. They're linked to like five or six more players right now in the transfer window. We'll see what they end up doing. Chelsea's got to be a contender after winning the Club World Cup. So going to be fascinating in England this year. Could be one of the most interesting title races in the Premier League that we've seen in a long, long time with multiple teams who can chase it. I think there's a drop off after Liverpool, Manchester City, Arsenal, Chelsea. I think there's a drop to the next group of five that Arteta thinks have a chance. I think it's those four who have a real, real chance. But we're going to find out. It's going to be a fun one. That's going to get started here in less than a month. We're going to see the Premier League Summer Series in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium coming up very, very soon. First Sunday in August, we're going to get to see a doubleheader with Everton and Manchester United, Bournemouth and West Ham at the Benz. Tickets available now. Three things that make me smile quickly to wrap up this edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Number one, Trinity Rodman back in training, finally. She took some months off to address chronic back pain. Still only 23. She had three goals last summer at the Olympics. She is training with the Washington Spirit just a few weeks before the NWSL regular season will kick off again in August. I hope she can stay healthy. I hope she can get back to where she was last summer. I think she is a potential massive soccer star in the United States if she can stay healthy and she can play at the level that we've seen her play at. I think she's just an absolute superstar and an incredible player, great presence. I think she can be one of those transcendent stars in this country. She's just got to stay healthy. And hopefully getting this time off to help with her back will help get her there. Number two on things that make me smile, Al Hilal in Sudan. They became champions in two different countries when they beat Al Merrikh 4-0 on Tuesday to win the Elite League in Sudan. Sudan's been in the process of a civil war raging since 2023. To escape the war and try to keep playing, both Al Hilal and Al Merrikh went to play in Mauritania to play in their league. Al Hilal won that league, finished first. But the Confederation of African Football, CAF, their rules state that only national champions can enter the CAF Champions League. So the two clubs had to go back. The Sudan FA put together a competition in army-controlled northeast venues in the country. Al Hilal hammered Merrikh, that's their biggest rival, built a three-goal lead by halftime to end up clinching the 4-0 win and become Sudanese champions for a record-extending 31st time. So they get to play in the Champions League again. They've played every season since 2004. Madani, who came in second in the league, they will be representing Sudan in the competition for the first time. Number three on the things that make me smile to wrap up this edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight, Will Riley. And I know it got lost in the shuffle after Saturday's game against Charlotte, but Will Riley's goal, his first professional goal for Atlanta United to rescue a point in stoppage time last Wednesday against Chicago. I've loved seeing these homegrown step up to the moment. We talked about F. Ryan Morales in segment one. Will Riley has done that as well. That was a huge moment for him. I don't want that to get lost in the shuffle of a disappointing week in Atlanta for Atlanta United. Will Riley stepped up big last Wednesday. That's going to do it for me. Thanks for hanging out with me this week. On Saturday, it is the Seattle Sounders coming to the Benz. Pregame coverage at 6:30, kickoff at 7:40, and then I'll be back with you next Tuesday to preview the League's Cup, which will start next week here in the A. Adios, everybody.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.